Hi, and welcome to Menstrual Cycle Mastery with me, your host, Lisa Dion. I'm an educator, coach, and group facilitator, passionate about exploring the menstrual cycle and the experience of pain or suffering many of us have. Using a mind-body approach and the menstrual cycle mastery skills, I support individuals to reconnect with their cycle and find relief, and I train professionals who want to guide others in this work. Freedom from suffering is possible for you, and there's so much more waiting for you on the other side. Let's dive in. Hi everyone, it's Lisa here. How are you doing? You're very welcome back to the Menstrual Cycle Mastery podcast. And today we are going to have a different kind of a conversation. This episode is inspired by a lot of questions that I get asked from the students in the Menstrual Coach Academy and other peers and colleagues and, yeah, people who want to learn about business and marketing. So it's business and marketing for practitioners. So what I mean by a practitioner is a coach, a therapist, a healer. Maybe you have some kind of like process or therapeutic practice or a body of work, and you help people with your practice, whether you help them with their physicality or you help them with their mental health, or in the Menstrual Coach Academy, maybe you're helping them with the menstrual cycle, or you're a therapist or a physical therapist, or yeah, some kind of, or even an educator as well, because education is also healing. So maybe you are in one of those lines of work and you identify with that. So this podcast is for you. It's also for, because this is not like, obviously this is kind of a new angle within the Menstrual Cycle Mastery podcast. If you're someone who struggles with your cycle and you've been listening to me for the last few years and following my work and exploring your healing journey and your chronic pain journey, this might not necessarily on the surface be relevant, but it could be interesting for you to listen to, because I have a very different perspective with business and marketing. And yeah, if you're curious, you're welcome here. We don't always have to have a very clear reason. And if you're feeling called and you're feeling drawn to listening in and this conversation, you are so welcome here. Yeah, and that actually brings me to think about it, that I see business and marketing as a creative. It's a creative process. It's not something bad or something dirty, or there certainly isn't one way of doing things, and that's what we're going to chat about today. So yeah, it's very much a creative relational thing, and we can't escape it. You know, we can't escape business and marketing, and we all need to make a living. So yeah, we're going to have a chat about all of that, and I'm excited to get into it. I thought I'd start with a little bit about my own journey in this space, because yeah, like I said, the reason I'm recording this conversation is because I've had quite a lot of people ask me questions about it, and I'm very much someone who gets curious when I get questions, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is a topic that's clearly wanting attention, and maybe my perspective is helpful and I can definitely help with that. So I started my business in about 2016. I actually started my practice. So I started working with women proactively, doing workshops and one-to-one coaching and training in the body of work I've created around 2015, 2016. But it, like I have shared my story before, it was very much rooted in my own personal journey and wanting help for myself. And then I just became very passionate about it. And then friends wanted to learn. And then I just started doing workshops, and it grew very slowly and very organically. And I very much followed like a kind of a breadcrumb trail and continued to learn and then do trainings and then practice and learn through my own clients and supervision, etc. So it was very much an emergent, organic journey and direction of my work. And there came a point where, similar to the way I think about creativity, because I also dabbled quite a lot in creative writing and learning about writing poetry, and I'm just very fascinated about the creative process, as I'm sure a lot of you guys are too, and how we come to learn our own creative process and build a relationship with creativity. And there came a point in my work where I realized that I was really, and I'm glad that I did this. I focused very much on wanting to become a really good practitioner, a really good facilitator, a really good coach. And I was less concerned with like the business and marketing side, and I just trusted that that would come in the same way that, like, you can be a really good writer and really talented and skilled and loads of experience and prolific, but you might not be a great business person. Then equally, you can do the opposite. You can become a really good business person, but the substance will lack the skills. And I see that in the world of writing and creativity. There can be books that are really well marketed, and then when you read them, they're not necessarily, well, I know art is subjective, but for me, then I kind of sometimes feel a little bit let down because the reviews were fantastic, etc. And then I'm like, oh, I just didn't really click with that, or it didn't land for me. And the same thing is true for coaching, for therapy, for these kind of like practice-oriented jobs. There's a lot of courses that you can take to become really good at business and marketing. But if you're lacking the experience, if you're lacking the skills, if you're lacking the discernment, the courses that you need to take, then yeah, then you might need to do a bit of work on that. So that's the approach I took. I just really had this passion for wanting to just become skilled and really good at what I do, and somewhat confident, and then know like where to go when there was a gap in my skills or I needed help or a gap in my knowledge. So I spent a lot of years really like kind of honing my work, honing my process, developing my body of work, becoming kind of almost like a thought leader within my own head. And I'm really glad that I did do that because it's a lot easier to market once you're really clear on what it is that you do. So that would be kind of my journey into it. And then when I got to a place where I was like, I think I'm ready to sort of learn like some business skills, I then realized, oh, like you can become a really good practitioner, which is what I had been focusing on, and you can become a great coach or educator or facilitator and learn these skills. And that's a hat you wear, and then you can be terrible at marketing. And I'm sure a lot of you guys might relate to that because if you're listening to this podcast, you probably also really value integrity and your skill set as a practitioner and your duty of care to your clients, etc. And maybe you've also kind of parked the business and marketing stuff, So I'm sure you're very much similar to me in that regard. So I came to that place in like 2019 or so, 2020, where I realized, oh, being a business owner and getting clients and selling my work and showcasing my work and running courses and paying my bills and my taxes and all those things, that also is a very different hat to wear. And, you can be a brilliant practitioner, but you maybe feel like you're not really being seen, you're not being recognized, your clients aren't fully trusting you, or the people you want to attract aren't trusting you, or you're not really sure how to communicate your work because you're very much in it and all of the lingo is very technical or academic. And yeah, just the reality is you haven't had the right support to get you to where you want to be with regards to sales and marketing. So yeah, I just really want to speak to that they're two very different skill sets. And I think we can make the mistake of just assuming that once we get the qualification in coaching or therapy or whatever many qualifications you probably have, that then, the clients will be knocking on the door. And it just doesn't work that way. Or maybe you've even already had some publicity and had been on podcasts, or you've had some, exposure even in the media, and then you're still struggling to sell courses, etc. So, and that can be really hard because it can be a little bit of a knock to your confidence, and it can set you, make you feel a little bit confused, or you don't really know where to start. And because of the world of business and coaching, a lot of the marketing out there, and maybe you've been targeted and cold called, etc., or you've looked up courses and they don't fully align, and or maybe you've received advice, business advice that hasn't really felt right for you, or you've implemented the advice and then you've had to clean it up or something like that. And it just feels a little bit like something is off and you're not getting the right support. The reason I'm speaking to that as well is because That's also very real, and I really want to acknowledge that and validate your experience there, because from my experience now, business and marketing for practitioners requires a very different lens to business and marketing for selling something else. If you're working with humans, if you're working with their internal world, and you're offering like a process for people, like a piece of development work or a transformation or some kind of healing work, the business and marketing that is required for that kind of a service requires a completely different understanding and a different nuance and a different approach. And there isn't really like one, there's not really very many people talking about this online or in the world. Even if you go to people who are experienced in business, if they don't have experience with this particular service, then you're going to have a lot of unmet needs. Okay. So that's very real. That's very much the reality and what you're facing. So I'm saying that to kind of explain it's not all you. It's also like the system we're in and the lack of understanding, the lack of nuance, and kind of people just thinking there's just one way to do business and marketing across sectors, and it's just not true. So yeah, we're going to be speaking about that as well today. Okay, so there is hope for you. If you do feel like you are good at what you do and you're passionate about your topic, then there's a lot of hope, and I'm very excited for you because that means that you can do it differently. And yeah, and if you relate to the feeling of you're good at what you do, but you don't know how to sell and you don't know how to market, or you're struggling with that or confused with the whole business world, yeah, don't worry about that. It's very, very real, and it's good that you're listening to this because it's also a sign that you care and that you want to do things right and you want to do things ethically. And yeah, you don't want to, do things out of integrity for yourself and your practice. Okay, so that's also something to remember. Okay, so let's go through some of the like problem areas that you might relate to in a little bit more detail. So I had a business coach once say to me, marketing is talking to people and sales is telling people you can help them. I was like, oh, I love it. That's so simplified. You can put that on a post-it. And I think it's really important to remember that, to come back to what is the purpose of sales and marketing. Okay. If you have an amazing service to offer, or a course, or a perspective, or a skill set, or your beautiful, creative, neurodiverse, sensitive brain is able to see things on behalf of your clients, and you're able to help people through, or you're an educator and you're supporting them with a menstrual cycle or something, then it's just really important that your work is really important and it's really valuable and it has a place in the world. And it's important that we give it a chance, give it a chance to plant some seeds, to grow, and to get clients and do that, bring your work out into the world, and for you to be reimbursed for that. And so that you, not so that like you're going to make loads of money, although I have no problem with that either, but so that you can then grow your work. And if you make money from what you do, you can then develop more programs, or you can make your work more accessible, or you can hire people, or you can expand to larger audiences, or you can then, get help or build a new program, all these things. And you can like, it turns into something that you can grow and then help more people. And I think that's just a wonderful thing. Okay. So sales and marketing is talking to people. Sales is telling them you can help them. And one of the problems that I see in a lot of my students when in the Menstrual Coach Academy, one of the modules we do at the end is a piece around sales and marketing. Although my students are asking me questions about sales and marketing the whole way through. But the problem is that they fear sounding salesy. Okay. They fear sounding salesy. So that's something to think about is, maybe you've been on the receiving end of some pushy kind of sales tactics, or pressurized sales tactics, or it's like a sales tactic where you feel the person isn't really connecting with you as a human and not particularly curious. And so just to think about that, but that doesn't have to, relate to your whole understanding of what sales is. And I want you to write a new story about what sales is, and to build a new relationship with sales, and to start to think about when were there times in your life where you had really positive experiences with sales, or you wanted the person to sell to you. Okay. I have many examples, like even in if I'm buying clothes and I'm feeling a little insecure, or buying new makeup or skincare or something, and you know, like the bright lights in the changing room, and you can feel a little bit uncomfortable, or you're having a bad hair day, or whatever. It's really nice when there's a salesperson there who's kind and encouraging and maybe making a suggestion, or who says to you, that looks really nice on you, you know? And like, I'm like, I love that, you know, that's really helpful. I could be by myself, or I could be having a bad day. And if someone says it and they really mean it, and it's like, oh yeah, maybe I will get the red dress. And that's a lovely memory to have, you know? So in those cases, you have like a positive sales experience. And I've had many examples where I'm like, I really want the salesperson to like, not be salesy, but I want them to take pride in their service, take pride in their work. I want them to explain what they do. I want them to be confident that they can help me, you know? So that's kind of like what I'd like for you to think about, is to rewrite that piece around, you know, that you're going to sound salesy, etc. Because the problem is, if you're a really good practitioner, but you're either you don't have the skills and you don't have the support and you lack the confidence with business and marketing, you're not going to do any sales and marketing. And then the reality is, you're not going to be able to sell your course or your program or your one-to-one spots as much as it has the potential to. Okay. So this is a really important part of the integrity of your work and the growth of your work and your own learning journey. Okay. Then the next one I have on the list is, you might have been on the receiving end of using fear and urgency. And this is a big, big problem I see. I've been on many business courses and I've worked with different coaches, and some were very expensive and some were less so. But across the board, there can be, especially with some like me, I sell chronic pain services, so services to people who are suffering, people who are vulnerable. And a lot of the business advice out there is to use fear and urgency to sell. Okay, and then also to push on pain points. And, you know, people who are vulnerable, people who have chronic pain, they're smart people and they smell the bullshit. And I was one of them, and you've been one of them. And, you know, we have like a radar. It's like a radar, you know, we smell this stuff, and people will buy from a place of feeling connected, and they'll be able to feel if someone is out of integrity. So if there's a coach or a methodology out there that is telling you to use fear and urgency and to push on pain points, just be careful with that. Maybe just think that through a little bit more. And yeah, this is something that I love teaching on. It's something that I'm gonna explain to you more in the future as well, talk about this. But using fear and urgency is a big problem area I see in the world of business when it comes to doing this kind of work. You know, like I'll give you an example. So I have seen very famous high-end coaches sell their work, and their work is genuinely really good, and sell their work, and then their sales process is to fill out a form, and then there is like all these questions about like some of the questions can be like, if you don't do anything about it, how much do you think it's going to cost you, and kind of like fake deadlines, and asking clients like, oh well, if you don't sign up with me, then this is the cost of, you know, what's going to happen to you. Or even just like things like lack of transparency, like not having a price, and then taking people through a very vulnerable process with writing about all their problems or answering lots of questions on a consultation call, and then delivering a very high price at the end. And that, you know, pulling people into their vulnerability and then offering a solution and then having a high price tag. So kind of like tactics like that. There's a lot of them out there. Maybe I'll make a list sometime and you know, sort of look to see what ones are out there. But if you feel like you have been taught these, or these are things you see, or you've tried them and you felt like they were off, like I would trust that and know that there is another way. There is definitely another way. And the problem is that very often these are kind of the only sort of like tactics that are taught. And then if you're not liking them, then what happens is we just, like I said, we don't do sales and marketing, and that's not good for your work. That's not good for your business. So it becomes a bit of a black and white thing, okay? So that's another issue in the industry. And then also, like a lot of my students and practitioners as well, and myself included, like, you know, we don't know how to do like launches and campaigns. If you've got a course coming up, like how do you do a launch? How do you do a campaign, etc. Generally as well, another problem I see is like where to start. If you are a qualified practitioner and you have experience, or maybe you're new in the game and you're wanting to start building a practice and getting experience, like where do you start? You know, there's so many different places to start. So that's another pain point. And then another difficulty is technology. So especially if you are someone who wants to work online, and you want to take online bookings, and your focus has been on being a really good therapist, being a really good practitioner, you know, like, where do you start with technology? That's another difficulty. And then another one is who to hire, when to hire, etc. But generally, it can be like, where to start, how to get the message out there, how to package your work, etc. All of that. Okay. So there's so many places that you can find yourself in. Essentially, you're really good at what you do. You want to do the right thing. You're kind of allergic to the bro marketing, pushy, salesy, you know, even there's a thing called the zero to hero story as well, that I find a little bit problematic, where marketing coaches can tell you, oh, if you sell your story of success, then you're using your story in order to sell the service. And even though selling your story can be very connecting and you're offering your story and people want to hear your story, but if we sell it in a way of like, oh, this is what I did, this is what works for me, and therefore this is what you have to do as well, that is very limiting. And what can happen then is we're using our story as a sales tactic as opposed to using our story to connect and to share our vulnerability, okay, and to be open and for people to relate. But if we're using our story as a kind of zero to hero tactic, and it's like, I got here and here's my secret formula, and then I'm going to sell it to you, and then what happens then is the client, that never works, okay, because we're all so different and coaching requires a lot more nuance than that. Then our vulnerable client can go into sort of an internalized, I didn't do this right, and I'll never be like her, and I need to look like her and be like her and do self-care like her, and then I'll feel like her, and I'll, you know, have the success to show it. It just never works, and it's quite harmful. There's a lot of problems with that, and I won't go into them right now because it's, you know, I want to get to the good bits. But these are all the problems in the business and marketing space. So again, going back to the first point I made, is that if you are struggling to take action in your business, these are all the reasons why. So you're not alone. Your intuition has been onto something, but at the same time, you might need help. And, you know, you might need to understand this stuff a little bit more so you kind of know what's going on and you're not being thrown around. And yeah, it's a long journey, but I'm really excited to talk about this more and to help you. And the last point I want to make, on just to kind of wrap this part of the podcast episode up, is your business is like a structure. Your business is like a house. So this is like a visual I want you to think about. Your practice, the thing you sell, the service you offer, is it's a moving energy. It's like a child growing up in a house. It changes, it evolves, it gets new clothes, it gets new outfits, it changes with the seasons. You know, take one course and then another one, you change your pricing, you change the way that you work depending on what you want, what you need, what your client wants, what your client needs, all of that. Okay, so your practice is like a living entity, and it's growing and evolving all the time and changing. And your business is the structure. Your business is like the house where your practice lives. Okay, so your business is the thing that allows you to live and to do the work that you're doing. Okay, so when I'm thinking about business, I'm thinking about like everything from like registering your business, taxes, understanding your services, understanding how to package your services, to then sales, marketing, follow-up, reflective practice when it comes to business, to like all of the pieces of the puzzle. And that the house, then it takes a long time to build the house, but once you have the house, then you can just kind of focus on your work and you can be the practitioner that you've always wanted to be, unless you hire loads of practitioners, which is another business model. Okay, so hopefully that's a helpful visual for you to think about, because that helps for me. Also, the hat visual, like today I'm wearing my practitioner hat and tomorrow I'm wearing my business hat. And for this activity, I need a practitioner hat, and that activity, I need a business hat. And I need help with this skill and that skill. And so you're just thinking about it through the lens of like skills, similar to my own work, Menstrual Cycle Mastery. We're learning these skills and we're getting good at skills, and you become skilled, right, in your own business. And you then become the expert because you know your client best, you know your business best. It's your baby, it's your child, you know it best. And yes, we can get advice and help from myself included, but ultimately you're the one who will know the best thing, okay? So let's move on to, I just wanted to give three top tips for business and marketing for practitioners. Okay, so this is my little holiday gift for you. So the first tip, and I have loads of tips, but we're just going to stick to three today, is make it official. Make it official. So I want for you to decide. So there's two ways to make it official. The first one is emotionally, right? Relationally with yourself. So emotionally decide you're going to become a student of business in this line of work, okay? Or you're going to become a skilled business person, or you're going to learn business skills. And that is like a new hat you're going to wear, and you're going to be vulnerable because you're new to it and you're not really sure. And yeah, even though you might be really good at what you do, I want you to drop the confidence and drop the ego and come back to humility and be like, I'm new, I'm going to learn. And this is a new hat I have to just figure out. Okay. So that's like an emotional, relational way of deciding. So you're making it official within yourself. And then, and I know you'll love this part, you're going to make it official in the outside world. So what I mean by that is either, and this will differ depending on which country you're in. So you're going to register your business with, in Ireland, it's the company registrations office, or with the revenue. Maybe in the States, you have to register with the tax office or some kind of government body. In the same with the UK, you register with your tax services. And in Europe as well, you figure out how to register. Okay, so I want for you to do a little research on that. Get onto Google, get onto ChatGPT AI and just ask, I'm new to business. Can you please explain to me in very simple English or whatever language you speak, how to officially register my business? Okay. And the reason I say simple English is because all these tax organizations, they speak a whole other language. It's very confusing. It's not helpful at all. And yeah, we just want to really make the language and the lingo accessible. And the reason, I know this doesn't sound very sexy because it can be kind of exciting to sort of like think about sales and marketing and all the kind of more fun things. But I've seen a lot of people start business without registering their business. So they're not actually trading legally. They're not practicing legally. And whether you do it illegally or not, like obviously, like I'm, you know, try and do things legally. But if you do things in the system, and the reason why people might start trading before registering is because they're new and they're just kind of practicing and they're kind of like seeing how things go. If you make it official, this is my belief, and I'm just going to share it with you. There's something about an energy where if you are like part of the social system that is like linked to taxes and your business being registered and all that kind of thing, there's something about a channel of energy opening up for you and the possibility of growth and more work coming your way because you have made your business official within the national legal system and you have, you know, done things the right way with regards to like the national kind of like system that you're in. And there's something about, I just think that there's something about that being a channel of energy for your business, because your business, like I said before, your business is like a living entity, a living and growing entity. And even if you don't have a lot of clients yet or a lot of work yet, there's just something about registering it and making it official. And then that being a bit of an open channel for more energy and more business to flow your way. Okay. And so with this make it official piece as this tip, I also want for you to think about this. When you make things official and you figure out kind of like your tax system and all those kind of like boring pieces of the puzzle, I want for you to make a list of that or go spend an hour, 1 hour, and do a little bit of research around what needs to be done. I've spoken to a lot of people who are brilliant at what they do. You could be an educator, a practitioner, even copywriters, you know, the artists, like people who are doing some kind of creative thing and they want to make it official or they want to become a solo entrepreneur. One of my friends, I was talking to her about this and I said, she basically said to me, oh, all that stuff to do with taxes, I'm like so allergic to that. I'm like, yeah, I get it because the language is so confusing and it's not as exciting. But if you want to be a good business owner, you gotta get comfortable with doing uncomfortable things. So the first uncomfortable thing is to look up the boring legislation and look up the boring steps that you need to take. And you can get help with that. In Ireland, there is an organization called the Local Enterprise Office who help you. They tell you what to do. You can take in some places, a free or very low cost start your own business course where they cover those kinds of pieces. Or you can go into your local bank. They can help you, or you can speak to your local accountant. You know, you can set it, make an appointment, even if you pay for an hour of their time, it's really, really worth it. And always ask people to speak in simple English. That's what I have to do. Because some of those terms go right over my head, and I have no problem asking people to kind of like make it clear for me. Or you can go on to Google or ChatGPT and get the information. Okay, so make it official in yourself and make it official externally. And then there's something that happens within your energy, and you've kind of opened pathways, you've opened channels, and you've set some kind of energetic ball in motion. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, top tip for business is integrate your nervous system. And this links to the first one. So if you feel a lot of fear, a lot of resistance, a lot of avoidance about even just taking that first step, or maybe you already have done that and you're feeling loads of fear and avoidance about marketing or pricing or visibility or hiring or all these different pieces, I want for you to go back to all the podcast episodes that I've done on nervous system regulation and think about your business through the lens of your nervous system. If you overstretch yourself and tell yourself you have to do something you're not ready for, or price something that is like way outside of your nervous system comfort, or take on way too many clients that you're not able to handle, you're gonna run out of capacity in emotionally, physically, nervous system wise, and probably go into some kind of inner critic attack or some story that you're not good at business, okay? But business and all creativity is a journey of growing our capacity in our nervous system to take action, to practice imperfection, to be in reflective practice, to ask for help, to receive help, to ask for, money, getting putting a price on your services is also like a nervous system piece of work. So thinking about your business through the lens of your nervous system and taking those small baby steps and tracking your nervous system as you do things and make decisions will help you stay in integrity with yourself and in integrity with what your business is asking from you. Okay. So I think it's genius. I should be paying for this advice. This is a free podcast, but I really do think, and I know that that piece of advice is going to like really help you to grow and get to where you want to go, because it has for me, and it's never let me down. And then, of course, if you feel overstretched in an area, or because of course, we can't always get that right. We get help, we tweak, we take things off the list, we change things. Like I said before, business is a creative practice and it's all about iteration and tweaking and changing, okay? And just being in the mess and being in the process. So my third top tip, and also I feel like this is should be behind paywall, but here we go, feeling generous today. The top tip is make connection your North Star, okay? So there's loads of business advice out there, loads of creativity advice, loads of things, loads of books you can read, courses you can take, etc. And it can be very overwhelming. But if you were to take one thing away, it would be make connection your North Star. So what do I mean by that? It's the same as what I just said. It is asking yourself, how can I be in connection with myself when I'm creating the thing? How can I be in connection with myself when I'm selling this? How can I be in connection with myself when I'm looking for help? How can I be in connection with myself when I am working on the creative thing that you're going to do? Okay, so what I mean by being in connection with yourself, it doesn't mean always feeling good. It means being in connection with what is happening for you and using that as a guide. So if you feel like you're coming into disconnection or a lot of self-doubt or loads of inner critic, or you're feeling just disconnected from something and you're kind of lost, it's a little bit of a flag that you need to come back to connection. And then we can discuss that again, how to come back into connection. But making connection your North Star is, yeah, it's one that I'm still working on and figuring out, but I just think it's a great tip for business. Oh, I'm going to wrap up this episode because I don't want to overwhelm you, and I just wanted to come to those three top tips. I'd love to hear what you think. And I'm excited to let you know that I've been reflecting on this topic a lot. Back in my days, I do have a business degree. Now I have a lot of business experience. My business has become very successful, which I'm very, very proud of. I probably need to talk about that more. But my priority is my practice. My priority will always be my practice. My priority are my clients and my teaching and my facilitation. And so business is the tool that allows me to do that. and get my work into the world. And because I've had a lot of people ask me about business, I am going to offer a 12-week business course in 2026, which is so exciting. It's going to be very simple, but it's going to be high touch. It'll be weekly calls with me. And if you can't make the time, you can hop on the recording and you'll have like direct feedback from me. And we'll be in a group together exploring this. I just really, really am so passionate about helping brilliant practitioners like yourself, or even creatives like yourself, with business and finding a way that works for you and just cutting through all the noise that's out there and figuring out what works and what doesn't work. If you do that alone, which you can do, it's a lot of mental and emotional labor, which I've had to go through myself. And yeah, I'm wanting to create this course to save you a lot of time and to help you with the tools and the skills that you can learn from me to help you get to that place quicker and to get to being like a confident, skillful practitioner and business owner at the same time. And then also for it to become kind of fun, and you can do it in a way that's fun for you. So in the course, we are going to be looking at how to showcase your skills rather than promoting your lifestyle or that zero to hero story that we're taught to sell. I'm also going to be teaching you how to use your story to connect as opposed to make your clients feel like they have to be like you, or have your clients compare themselves to you. Because again, thing about that way of marketing is it sets your clients up in a certain expectation, and then you end up having all these messy dynamics in your actual work. So it's important that we get the business piece right so that you're attracting the right clients and you're not then kind of in a messy dynamic with them before they even get started. Okay. We're also going to be looking at discerning between something that's uncomfortable and an area of growth for you versus if something is wrong and out of integrity or out of alignment for you, because that's another skill that we have to work on as a business owner. Because if you're new to business or you're wanting help with business, there's going to be areas of growth. Like being a business owner is like the biggest self-development piece of work you can do. And what can happen is a lot of people will say, oh, that's not for me, when it's actually a great thing to look at or a really good opportunity or an area of growth, and they just write it off because it feels uncomfortable, but they internalize that as like a gut feeling that it's not for them. So yeah, that's something to think about. We're going to be talking about that in our course. We're going to be teaching on explaining your work without going into too much psychobabble. So this was a trap I fell into. Again, if you're brilliant at what you do and you've done loads of training, you've done trauma training, or you've done psychotherapy training or physiology training, or even like I said, you're a content creator or content writer or an educator, you know, your lingo is very technical, it's very specific, and it might not be what your client understands. So I don't sell, my practice is psychodynamic process work, relational work and relational coaching within the menstrual cycle space. But I don't sell that. Like, no, that doesn't sound like, no one really understands what that is unless you're a professional who also works with those lenses. So I have to really think about, okay, what's the language that my client understands? Okay, so that's something we're going to be chatting about. We'll be chatting about helping you to find your own authentic voice. It's very important. How to package a program that works for you and your clients, and then becoming confident in sales and marketing. So it's going to be a 12-week journey. It'll be a pilot program with me and a group of practitioners. And it's going to be in first half of 2026. I'll pop a waiting list below. So click the link below, add your name onto the waiting list, and you'll be first to hear when the program launches. And yeah, it'll be my gift to you. And I'm excited to meet you there and to do a piece of work with you. It's such an important area. And I'm just trusting that, yeah, people have been asking me to do this. So I think I'm ready to offer this as a little bonus service in my body of work. So that's it for me. If you have any questions or thoughts, I'd love to hear them. You can send me an email or hop on Instagram. And otherwise, go easy and have a beautiful rest of your week. And I will talk to you soon. Thanks for joining me on the Menstrual Cycle Mastery podcast. If you'd like to begin this work with me, I run the Menstrual Mastery Collective, a monthly membership where you can dive deep into this work live alongside me and a supportive community. I'm also the founder of the Menstrual Coach Academy, a professional training space for trauma-informed coaching and facilitation. Head on over to the links in the bio to sign up for courses, programs and grab any resources available. I'm so glad you're here.